This is podcast number 101 for the Well-Educated Mother's Heart. Hi, I'm Marlene Peterson, and today I want to tell you a little bit about Charles Morris and his historical tales. I plan on turning our attention to Spain for a few days, but before we do, I wanted to reaffirm why I spend so much time on history. I don't view history as a subject to be studied and checked off the list. It's entirely possible to study it for years with little profit by looking only at the facts and the timelines. But when you study it by heart, it reveals so much that is practical and inspirational. For our sampler today, I want to read the introduction to a series of books I acquired last week and told you I would tell you more about them. They are called Historical Tales and were written by Charles Morris. First, let me give you a little background on Charles Morris that I found on the Heritage History site, which, by the way, I love. They wrote, "Charles Morris was a prolific American writer of the late 19th century. After a brief career in academics, he began publishing a great number of books and articles under various pseudonyms, but his pièce de résistance was his Historical Tales, a collection of romantic and entertaining stories from history in 14 volumes, although I've found 16 so far, there may be more. Although these tales are organized by civilization and the stories occur in roughly chronological order, these books cannot be read as comprehensive histories, as he makes no particular attempt to tie them together, contenting himself to jump from one fascinating episode in history to another. For this reason, they are best read after one is already familiar with the basic outline of the history of a particular civilization. Although I recommend that you just dive in and read them yourself, there's a lot of interesting things in there. On the other hand, Morris is an outstanding writer, and he picks fascinating subjects for his stories. The stories are selected largely for their entertainment value, rather than purely for historical significance, so Morris treats his readers to a fascinating introduction to some compelling secondary characters and events. He tells all of his stories in enough depth to make them truly entertaining, even when he is dealing with already well-known events. The historical tales are an entertaining treat, and though they're not recommended for introductory reading, at least for your kids, they are terrifically rewarding for intermediate or advanced readers of history. I will add that Charles dedicated the series to the memory of my father and mother, who in my early childhood instilled in me a taste for the study of great characters and events, which has done more to influence and mold my life than any other factor. There it is, the reason for the emphasis on the study of history as we do it here in the Well-Educated Heart. It has the potential to do more to influence and mold the lives of your children than just about any other factor. So let me share now the beginning of the intro chapter to this series. John Wanamaker was once asked to finance an expedition to recover treasures which had lain for years in sunken frigates off the coast of the Bahamas. "Young man," he replied, "I know of a much better expedition than that right here. At your own feet lie treasures untold, and you can have them all by faithful study." It is hardly necessary to emphasize the importance of education, for nowadays everyone agrees with Locke that, of all men we meet, 9 out of 10 are what they are, good or evil, useful or not, by their education. But what is education? A few years at school and a little preparation for a chosen career? No, man's education is never complete. Constant development is the first law of nature. Man is placed here to grow, and every cell of his mind must constantly absorb new power, or he will be stunted. For as Gladstone says, "The mind is but a barren soil, a soil which is soon exhausted and will produce no crops unless it be continually fertilized and enriched." It is the duty of every man to stand on the high plane for which he was created, and to do this he must take advantage of every opportunity to grow larger and broader. He must be ever filling his storehouse with useful knowledge to broaden his intellect and increase his ability. As ex-President Harper of the University of Chicago said, "If there is one single necessity in life more vital than another, it is the necessity for pressing forward intellectually from year to year. No greater sin can be committed than that of failing to obtain the highest degree of cultivation possible." The world divides itself into two classes: those who read at home, thus continuing to rise higher and higher, and those who do not read at home, and for this reason sink lower and lower in the grade of human life. Yes, good literature constitutes the university in which everyone who wants a full, rounded education can and must get it. All distinguished men have been given to the habit of constant reading, and it is utterly impossible to arrive at any degree of distinction without this habit. "The great instrument of mental culture," says Hugh Black, "is reading. A man who is ignorant of what others before him have thought and said and done will turn down many a blind alley." In good literature, we find the record of other people's experiences, thoughts, and feelings, which widen our vision, extend our limited range of life, correct our own conclusions, and give us vast data for our thinking. We would indeed be poorly equipped for life if all we had gained from good reading were taken away from us. And of all reading, that along historical lines is the most important, for every person feels the need of being correctly informed regarding the past. History is being made so rapidly nowadays that it is impossible to keep pace with current events or understand newspaper and magazine articles or keep up one's end in ordinary conversations without a knowledge of the world's past history and the causes leading up to the present conditions. No other kind of reading furnishes such positive benefit, for history is the basis of all knowledge. As Hamilton Wright Mabie says, "History is the background against the entire life of today, and nothing can be understood unless it is studied with this background in full view." The study of history is, therefore, a part of every other study, a kind of common ground on which philosophy, theology, politics, economy, art, literature, and industry meet, and where alone they reveal their common origin in the needs, the capacities, and the conditions of the human soul. And right along the same line, Abraham Lincoln said, "History is the most valuable teacher of human nature, for it deals with the actual motives and actions of real men and women. All other forms of literature are of secondary importance." The fact is that nearly all the great masterpieces in other fields of literature are founded on the great events of history, and it is impossible to understand the principal works of literature and art unless one knows the true accounts of the historic events upon which such works are based. Historical knowledge is indispensable to anyone who would hold a place in intellectual society. It is the cornerstone of culture, and without a person can make no pretense to education. In every community, there are persons who stand head and shoulders above their associates. If they read a masterpiece of literature, they understand it better than others. If they listen to a lecture, they get more good out of it than others who pay just as much for their seats. If they see a painting, or a piece of statuary, or some work of art, they enjoy and appreciate it, while others pass it by with a glance. What is the secret of their superiority? There's no magic about it. These persons simply have a good general knowledge of history, for the famous events and characters of history are what have inspired our literature and art, and there is hardly a lecture worth hearing or an able sermon delivered that is not full of historical allusions. A person cannot get enjoyment from his travels unless he is up in history, because he knows nothing of the heroes of the past, the warriors, the scholars, the teachers, the reformers, the martyrs, of the victories they have achieved and the work they have accomplished in raising the world from savagery to civilization. He knows nothing of the various stages of the world's progress, the famous ruins, the historic buildings, the ancient landmarks, the renowned battlefields that make every country he visits an open book, every page of which is as interesting as a romance to the reader of history. Historical knowledge is of no less importance in the practical affairs of life. It is a mere truism to say that no one may hope for success in any calling today without a knowledge of human nature. No one can expect to become a successful preacher, teacher, doctor, lawyer, editor, or businessman who does not have a keen appreciation of the motives that govern men in the ordinary affairs of life. Knowledge in this domain is power and influence, while ignorance is weakness and inefficiency. For history is a study of humanity, not in an ideal condition, but as it has actually existed and must be dealt with, and familiarity with it gives one the power to be a leader of men rather than a mere follower. Yes, and it is a patriotic duty which every man owes his country to be well versed in history. The state is but a collection of individuals, and the only way to better it is to better the individuals composing it. We must first know history before we can make history. A man cannot vote wisely and be a valuable citizen without a conception of what other men have stood and striven for, and what it has meant for them to win or lose. And if this is necessary for the man of today, how much more necessary it is for him to bring up his children under the noblest influence. How important that those who are to wield the power and direct the affairs of the next generation shall be acquainted with the experiences of the generations that have gone before. The boys of today will fill the important places of tomorrow. Every year, thousands of young men reach the age when they are allowed to share in the government of our nation, and they must be trained for the responsibilities that will come to them. They may be able to tell what year Columbus landed. That may be regular calendars so far as dates are concerned, but that amounts to little. What they need is the practical side of history, the part that will do them good through life. They need an insight into the lives of those heroes and patriots of other ages whose courage, strict devotion to duty, and heroic self-sacrifice represented the highest ideals and furnished lessons which will make more patriotic citizens and consequently a better nation. Yes, history is truly the chiefest study among human studies, which enriches and illumines all the rest. It introduces us to the companionship of heroes who won the world's victories, statesmen who made its laws, reformers who swept aside its evils, and martyrs who gave their blood to baptize its liberties. And to be associated with these great men and women through the pages of history is to be great ourselves. But the mere reading along historical lines is not enough. To get the most good out of what we read, a definite plan must be followed. You might read all the books in the British Museum if you could live long enough, says Ruskin, and still remain an entirely illiterate, uneducated person. But if you read 10 pages of a good book in the right way, you are forevermore, in some measure, an educated person. It is not the amount of food we eat, but the amount we digest that upbuilds our physical body. And similarly, it is not the amount we read, but the amount we assimilate that increases the capacity of our mental storehouse. The most profitable reading, said Samuel Smiles, is that which is conducted with a definite aim and object. By thoroughly mastering any given branch of knowledge, we render it available for use at any moment. Hence, it is not enough to merely read much, or to know where to read for information as we want it. Practical wisdom for the purposes of life must be ready for use at call. We must carry about with us a store of the current coin of knowledge, ready for exchange on all occasions, else we are comparatively helpless when the opportunity for using it occurs. Food undigested weakens the organs of the body, and in the same way, reading without thought or purpose is worse than wasting time. worse than the ignorance which comes from reading nothing, for it causes us to form desultory habits which are fatal to continuity of thought and even have a detrimental effect upon our entire lives, making us unsystematic and careless. Gladstone reminds us that the man with the method accomplishes more in a week than the hard-working sloven will accomplish in a month, and it is the duty of every person to adopt a definite course of reading that he may get the greatest benefit out of what he reads. For wisdom is not mere knowledge. It is the result of systematic reading by which the facts gained become a part of one's very being. Stories like those found in historical tales serve to awaken interest in the hearts of your children to want to know more. I know that many of you have very young children who are probably not old enough for many of the things I'm talking about in these podcasts, but I share these stories with you and resources because I know there is a giant gap in most of us where the history of the world is concerned, and I'm trying to fill in that gap as fast as I can. You are to act as their guide through history. But how can you be a guide if you're unfamiliar with the territory? While there are many details to fill in on your own, I hope these podcasts are beginning to awaken interest in people and events that, at the right time, you can use to awaken an interest in your children. You'll find Charles Morris's historical tales in the high school section under history, sorted by country. I'll share a chapter from Spain in a couple of days so that you can get a sense of what they're like.